cliffcentral.com.
I don't know why my laptop doesn't seem to be playing this thing properly. Hang on a second. There we go. Okay, there we go. We got it. Not the greatest start in the world. Please ignore that. We'll start again. We'll just pretend that didn't happen, all right? Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. I bet you the ANC are currently saying, just please ignore what's happening at the moment. We'll get back to you with a better plan later. Damn. It's all happening whether we like it or not. All right, cliffcentral.com, Thursday morning. It is a pretty chilly Thursday, but not the end of the world. There was this beautiful sky in Johannesburg last night with the clouds that seemed to fan out from the sun. It looked pretty amazing. Everybody was on Instagram posting pictures of sky porn, and it was pretty damn beautiful, I'll tell you that much. Is that right, Pums? It was beautiful, right? Yeah, it was spectacular. No, why can't I hear Pummy here properly? Hang on, Pums. Just let me figure something out here. There's definitely something bizarre going on. So it plays that out, but it won't play this out. Yeah, I don't know what the gremlin's on. I can't even hear you, Sia. So hang on a sec. Let me just do this. There we go. Try now. No, can't hear you guys. Hang on.
Hello.
There we
are. Can't hear anyone.
Okay, there we are. Hello. Can you all hear each other?
Is that better now? Oh,
Jesus, what a mess. As I was saying,
that was a riveting entertainment.
Yeah, there was sky porn yesterday. People were posting pictures of the beautiful Joburg autumn skies with all of these clouds that looked like they were coming straight out of the sun. It was beautiful.
So I actually thought something was happening because I came out of the shops and everybody was standing outside with like their cameras out. I had a moment.
You think it was an alien invasion?
I had a moment of should I go outside or not? And then also my child was in the car. So I was like, I should probably go see what's happening out there because my child's in the car.
Listen,
okay, I do love your instinct then. Your instinct wasn't, oh, what are they looking at? Let me also take a look. No, it was, should I run or not? Essentially, that was it. And that's a good instinct.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have watched enough alien invasion movies to know. Don't stand around like with your camera out. No. Get to safety.
Did you guys
but
see?
Where is safety with the aliens?
Exactly. You can't hide anywhere.
Who
from
knows?
That. I just want to ask you quickly because
go home.
This is a serious, serious story, right? The New Yorker, okay. which is a, you know, the New Yorker is not a bullshit publication, right, Pumi? New Yorker magazine is very serious business. They are talking about the story, which people seem to be very nonchalant about. But it's a story about how the Pentagon and the U.S. government are starting to release all this information about unidentified spacecraft. Now, I'm not convinced that this is going... No, but I mean, seriously, like we're joking about what you saw people taking pictures of. The funny thing is, all those things about aliens were always the province of people who were crazy, right? It was all these like wacky conspiracy theorists and these people who were beyond the pale, people you couldn't take seriously. Now, the U.S. government is starting to talk about this stuff. Retired Navy pilots are starting to talk about this stuff. Scientists are starting to talk about this stuff. And people are not taking notice. It's like people are going, oh, no. We take the movies about aliens, the ones that you were just talking about, more seriously than we take this news story. It's a news story. They are releasing information. They've released video. They've released declassified CIA and FBI and Homeland Security papers. They are talking about unidentified flying objects, and they're saying these things can move in ways that we can't explain. They are an advanced technology that we cannot recreate in our own flying vehicles. It's either, who knows where it's from? Might be, extraterrestrial, might be one other country on Earth that suddenly cracked the code and been able to, you know, it's China or it's Russia or it's, you know, India or whoever. But the fact is, this stuff is actually going on right now. And people are like, yeah, so? Do you remember when they used to talk about Roswell, and they used to talk about, what was that place called? Area 51.
That used to
remember that? Yes. It was like big talk.
Like about a, was it 2 years ago that people were going to invade Area 51?
Oh, yes.
But now the government of the United States is actually putting out information, and they've just released a whole batch of it, about these tic-tac-shaped craft that have been spotted, that have been filmed, that have been eyewitnessed by people who are not crackpot conspiracy theorist yokels who live on a farm who've been probed and had their cattle cut open. You know what I mean? These are credible people. And are we talking about this? No, everybody's like, nah, it's not a big deal. So the New Yorker published...
We have pictures.
Yeah?
We have pictures of the surface of Mars. I'm just saying. And we are also the people. We are also the people who have lip sync battle. So.
And the Masked Singer.
Wait, what are you saying? Is
I'm
this
just saying,
going over my head?
No, we're saying.
I'm just saying.
It's amazing what people.
That they're
paying attention to the wrong things. Like, it seems to me that the most interesting thing going on in the world at the moment isn't the coming out of coronavirus or Joe Biden's gaffes or, you know, the ANC splitting apart. These are not actually the biggest stories of the moment. If you look at the...
No, it's Kim Kardashian crying.
No, it's these goddamned aliens or whatever these ships are. And, you know, the New Yorker is not a bullshit publication, like we said earlier. None of these people that they cite in the article, which is a long article, but it's amazing. It's too long for people to read. No, no, I'd rather just go on Twitter and see what people are fighting about this morning.
So what are your thoughts on this, Gareth?
I don't know, because it sounds wacky, right? If you read the article, it sounds totally bizarre. And I know that there are people who've been talking about this on the internet for some time. But again, the people who've been talking about it on the internet aren't credible people. They're the whack jobs who've been talking about it for the longest time. Now that is all starting to change. And the weirdest part of all of this is people are like, so yeah, but so what? You know, like they're really genuinely more surprised by Caitlyn Jenner running for governor of California than they are about the fact that there are these unexplained phenomena in our skies, these craft that can go in and out of the sea at incredible speeds. They can do a right angle turn at, you know, speeds of 1,000 kilometers an hour. These things have been measured. They've been recorded. They've been witnessed by really, really smart, really sensible people who have real jobs in real places. And nobody's asking questions. Nobody's going, fuck, this is the biggest story ever. Everybody's like, nah, well, you know, aliens, it doesn't matter.
Maybe we're just fatigued. Maybe we're actually fatigued with way too, we've got sensory overload. There's way too much coming at us.
That might explain it.
Like, maybe we're a little bit fatigued.
But also maybe the movies have made us feel like it has to be like this big, you know, worldwide, everyone looks up, like you saw the people looking up at the clouds yesterday, and we're all taking pictures of things with our cell phones. Maybe that's because the movies have set it up to be this huge, noisy, massive arrival that threatens the extinction of our species before we'll actually pay attention. And the movies have made it such a big drama that the little bits of evidence that are starting to pop up here and there from governments, for God's sake, not from, you know. And if you're one of those people who believes, oh, no, the government have just concocted this to be a distraction, well, it doesn't seem to be working because people are not distracted. They're distracted by much, much stupider things than this.
Well, they can always ramp it up afterwards. But I'm of two minds here. Both are just not, I don't take it too, what's the word? I wouldn't say I'm not taking it seriously, but it's not scary and daunting to me. The first thought that I have is we often complain about our governments the world over. Wouldn't it be refreshing to get a new type of leadership from a whole different planet just come in and take over. Hey, let's give them a chance. You know, what if they're better?
Sure.
You know?
And you know what, Sia, they might be. And frankly, I think we're ready to be colonized by a species from another planet. See. I think we're ready.
The second is, I don't exactly believe that if aliens were to come here, why would their first instinct be to kill us all? What about great relations? Are you telling me that they don't have international relations on an alien world? What if they do? And now they're going to come here, shake our hands, and then we're going to be like the Will Smith music video, and we're going to dance together, Man in Black style.
Well, I heard awesome theory yesterday. How's this theory? You know how we've seen that we've identified these tribes on like the North Sentinel Island where they've never had contact with modern people, or in the middle of the Amazon, there are these isolated tribes that we on purpose do not interfere. So we know they're there, but we leave them to kind of do their thing. Maybe aliens are looking at us going, let's leave them alone for a little bit longer till they figure some shit out because they're way too primitive. Maybe they're looking at us going, these humans are so stupid and so backward and so disappointing that if we bring all of our amazing technology and our insights and our sophisticated civilization and our science and our understanding of the universe and speed and light and physics and, you know, if we bring all of that to them now, they will definitely fuck it up. So let's just leave them alone like those people in these isolated tribes that we leave in the Amazon. We don't make contact. We don't interfere. We don't fly our planes over them on purpose just to not fuck with them. I think that's what maybe.
Why is the assumption that they're smarter than us?
Definitely smarter than us. Because if they can get here, Sia, just by virtue of the fact.
Yeah, Sia.
Just by virtue of the fact that they could get here and we can only get as far as Mars. If they can get here from other galaxies, do you know what kind of tremendous
understanding? Technology.
I mean, then they've mastered the ability to go through wormholes or to travel faster than the speed of light. This stuff is mind-bending. To us, we're just on the very, very frontier of cracking the most obvious science that our five senses.
We're just beginning to figure it out.
Right. I mean,
have you never ended up in Witbank after a crazy night out of partying? You wake up, you go, how did I get here? What if one of the aliens had a great night of partying? I'm like,
you have partied way harder. If you've ended up in Witbank after a night of partying, you've gone very, very far, my friend. You have broken lots of rules to get there.
Just a theory. I'm also putting it in the jar. You'll figure it out there.
All I want to say about this to close it off,
because swirl that around.
I don't have more information than anyone else, but I do think you guys need to read that New Yorker article, and you tell me after you've read it what you think. And we'll post.
Will you share it?
Yeah, we will. I'll post the story in the comment section of this video and all the rest of it, so we can make sure you have it. But if we were invaded by aliens tomorrow, and I'm sorry we even got onto the subject, but Pumi was talking about how she walked out of the out of the shop and she saw everybody looking at the sunset last night, which was beautiful. I even put my own picture, my own version, which was crap compared to some people's. But I felt like there was peer pressure, so I had to put something up. The sky looked beautiful in Johannesburg yesterday. It looked like the clouds were shooting out of the sun, effectively, in these little ribbons. But Pumi said she walked out and she thought, oh, something's going on. All these people are looking at the sky. And that made me think, you know what? We should be looking at the sky. We should be paying attention to this story from the New Yorker, instead of looking at our fucking phones the whole time. Anyway, I mean, there we are. What can I say?
Does that feel better, Gareth?
I feel better now.
You got it off your chest.
No, there we are. I feel better. All right. So while we're getting stuck into the day, and there is plenty of news, we're going to save the ANC stuff because that is talk about a clusterfuck. The ANC is a clusterfuck today, and we will find out what's going on, because now the latest is, and we'll get into the detail in the burning platform. The latest is that Cyril Ramaphosa and the ANC proper decided they were going to suspend Ace Magashule yesterday afternoon. So that was breaking news yesterday afternoon. Then in the evening, the breaking news was Ace Magashule has suspended Cyril Ramaphosa. I kid you
how
not.
How is that a thing?
I don't know how to make... I mean, that talk about being confused by aliens. Those two, the way they're behaving, I don't think aliens could explain it. They would definitely leave. They'd look, take one look at this country. They'd see who's running it. They'd go, what the hell is this? And they'd turn and they'd run. They'd go, we can't help these people. They're too stupid. Telling you, it's terrible.
I wonder what the ANC WhatsApp groups were going, how they were going yesterday, how crazy it all was.
Imagine. Pumi, don't you know some of the people on those WhatsApp
blowing
groups?
Blowing up the phone.
Can you imagine?
Blowing up the phone.
Those phones must have been bzz, 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 the whole goddamned afternoon. Must have been insane. I mentioned this briefly on Tuesday, I think it was. We were talking about Sia's grandmother, and I want him to just describe her the way he described her to me the other day, because there's a generation of people. There's a generation of people who are on their way out in the world at the moment, who we're going to see the last few of these people now. And they are a special bunch of people. They're a bunch of people who were educated in the classics. They were taught, you know, poetry, things that we aren't taught anymore at schools, because now we're taught, you know, like a curriculum that's meant to be practical. And, you know, these people are just a very special generation. Describe your gran the way you did to me, Sia, and we'll get into this a little bit.
We got into discussing this because I'm still convinced that she and Prince Mangosuthu just have to be together. That is now my latest hookup. Yes, we are trying to get him back on the show because he's topical and a lot to talk about. But also, I have an agenda to get him together with my grandmother. Because when you think of Prince Mangosuthu, that already sets the scene. When you listen to him, he's very old school. He's very, even with his language and the way he and people of that generation particularly learned English, it's proper old school English. It's, well, they speak in idioms, they speak from poems.
Those older people, they went to these missionary schools, or they went to these and those schools put an emphasis on like a holistic education, you know, the ability to kind of, you have to have read a huge number of books by the time you finish school. You have to have had exposure to different kinds of philosophies, and there needed to be a grounding in like the human story and that sort of stuff, which I do think we've abandoned largely.
And in Natal, all those mission schools were also very English. So what you also have is you have a very anglicized group of, you know, older people with all the English frills, right? It's a little bit like Downton Abbey.
Yeah. No,
you go, where does this come from? So apart from the fact that she's still very prim and proper, you know, she's 89, about to be 90. She still gets up every morning and she'll get ready. Not like our get ready. Her get ready is, you know, she'll put on a full dress or she'll put on a long skirt and, you know, she has some sort of a scarf, something covering her shoulders, and then she'll sit. But that's how her day starts. But I first noticed that there's something going on with this woman growing up. And even when she'd get angry with us, she'd still reprimand us in English. That's the sign of, you know, whatever you speak, if you're really angry, you kind of revert to your mother tongue.
Yes.
If you're Afrikaans, sometimes when you're seeing so much red, you just have to go, you know, there's certain words that have to go back to Afrikaans. And she'll go back to English. And, you know, I first learned the phrase, said to a cousin of mine, my cousin was like trying to get back at her and explain what she was doing. And my grand goes, a drowning man will always clutch at a straw. I'm like, what?
I love that.
Yeah. Who speaks like that? What are you saying? You know?
I just, and then you, I also, you can't respect these people, right? I mean, like, you've got to respect that. That's just an old school way of doing things. Yeah?
No, and her favorite as well, when it comes to not being foolish with money, she'll go, you know what? Go, carry on then. But a fool and his money
is gold.
Will easily soon parted, be yeah. parted. Don't speak like us, woman.
Yeah. I love
it. It's that old school, man. That old school.
And
although you've got to love grandmothers.
You are right. Love grandmothers. I mean, you are right, Pumi. It's a very KZN thing, but it's also a very old granny thing. And this is where I'm a bit sad that my grandmothers both died before I'd even turned 10 or 12. So I never really got to spend too much time with them. And a grandmother is an important thing, hey? I mean, I got my one granddad. He survived up to about just after my 21st birthday, which was really nice. But the other three all went before I was 10. So I didn't really get... And as a result, I'm not very patient with old people, you know? I haven't had them in my life, so... When old people start umming and ahhing, like my dad is, frankly, at the moment, I start going,
no.
Jesus, come on, get on with it. Say the fucking word, you know? And I when I see old people moving very slowly, like they do in the shops, I don't have any patience for that because I didn't grow up with, you know, more than one grandparent. And, you know, by that stage, he wasn't around as much of the time. It's weird. I feel I missed out.
So my gran is now 95, and she, which is why I see her at 89, spend every moment you can with your grandmother, because in the past 3 or 4 years, the deterioration of the human is so rapid. It's so sad. Because my grandmother was a big girl. She was like, big Zulu girl towering over him. And now she is shorter than me. Mm. She's extremely frail. She is, and she doesn't have any, you know, she doesn't have like high blood pressure. In fact, she's now got a very low blood pressure because her heart is tired, you know, so it's slowing down. And she refused to get a pacemaker some 8 years ago. She was just like, when the doctor said your heart needs, like it needs something to keep its rhythm. And she was just like, if it's getting tired, it's been working its whole life, it'll stop when it's time for it to stop. And we're just like
it's so practical about that stuff.
But also with the English, every time I'm at my mother's house, because she lives with my parents now, just like, why? What's up with the English? Why are we having this? She's like in the full-time English now. But it's so, every time I see my grandmother now, you know, she's also too frail to hug the way that you used to. So you just...
I've got a picture here. I've got a picture of Pumi's grandmother with Joe Biden here. There she is on the chair. And see how small she is. See how small she is compared to Joe Biden. And she used to be a big, as Pumi says, a big Zulu girl. But look at her now, tiny. You know?
Look at that. Oh, no, how far you know, she's come.
I think that generation are just a very special bunch of people because they had to put up with a lot more than we ever did. A lot more, right? And there were serious. They could have spent the last, you know, 40 years of their lives just complaining because they had every reason to. They had a lot of difficulty to deal with. And life was very hard for that generation. I mean, they had to put up with absolute poverty. They had to put up with discrimination of every kind. They had to put up with a vicious world that was trying to kill them, where disease and nature and privations were all around them. And they got on with it. War... You know, famine, a system which was, if you were a woman, I mean, you were screwed. If you were a black woman, you were extra screwed. There was just nothing really that we can take for granted today that they had. They didn't have any of that. And yet they are so dignified. They are so resolute. Mm. They have such a strength of character and a straight back and an ability to just smile as life throws things at them and has for years. It's a special, special generation of people. And I'm sorry that we're seeing the last of them now, because I don't know that the next couple of generations are going to have that level of character and that kind of strength. I don't think we'll have it in the same way.
It's a new type of person. When you think about the way they've instilled order and they've instilled discipline, like, there's certain things that just do not fly with that generation. You know, even so, swearing is just out of it. You do not even consider swearing.
Never
in the presence of my grandmother, let alone clicking of the tongue. You know, in Zulu, you do
Wena. They don't like that.
You can start a world war in the house, in her house, if she hears you doing that. But then there's also the other side of the scale, which is, in my mind, a little too extreme, but you don't question it. My grandmother's still horribly, horribly terrified of thunder and lightning. So we all have to gather around in the lounge and sit. And but the TV is off and you do nothing when there's thunder.
No. But thunder and lightning in Durban is such a rare occurrence. It is like, my uncle died at 70 odd years old, and he was afraid of lightning from when he moved up to Joburg.
Yeah.
He could never get head around lightning. And he was 70 years old. He'd lived in Joburg for like 50 years and still.
Listen to this.
Listen here, Sia.
Laurel says, my dad is 90. He still dresses for dinner with smart trousers, a shirt, and jacket every night.
Damn straight.
And B says, my mother's 91, says B. She works twice a week at a bookshop. She opens the church every Sunday, walks the dogs in the Newland Forest, and goes visiting all of her sick friends who are 10 years younger than her. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That really is. That's amazing. Spectacular. Yeah.
A friend of mine's grand passed a couple of years ago, and she lived to be 103.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. That's phenomenal. I mean, here's Andre. He says, my mother is 85, was a volunteer firefighter trying to save the UCT library recently. How's that? 85, volunteer firefighter. Yeah. Unreal.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Go, old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Why did my back get sore in that process?
I know.
Look at how weak you are, Sia. Look at how weak you are.
All right.
Need to go and ice my back at the thought of that.
Let's take a look at a couple of headlines quickly, because we've got a couple of guests this morning who we're going to talk to just before the burning platform. Got lots of things to get through. So, first of all, a defiant Ace Magashule said he remained in office because he has appealed to the party's decision to suspend him, and claimed that he has suspended Cyril Ramaphosa as he was facing allegations of vote buying during the CR17 campaign to become party president. So who knows what's happening there? And the real story will only emerge once we see someone in jail. He claims instead that he has suspended the president, you know, while he's been suspended himself. He's accused his comrades of selectively enforcing NASREC resolutions. He said the 2017 conference decided that those facing criminal charges and those facing serious allegations must step aside. He said the following: there is no conscience there. What happened to the conscience of everybody on the resolution of the ANC's national highest decision-making body, he said. One of the EWN reporters quotes Ace Magashule saying, I am still the Secretary General. As the ANC, we have suspended Cyril. So, who knows? His opponents have said it was a battleground that he has already lost. That's what we've got, the latest from the ANC. Eskom has warned it will...
No, the latest is Pulemabe's...
What did Pulemabe say? You've got an extra latest...
Put out a statement.
What did he say? Pums, yeah. Go for it. Tell us.
Pulemabe put out a statement saying that the NEC will consider Ace's actions over the weekend, but they strongly advise that he subject himself to the disciplinary processes of the party.
Eskom has warned it will intensify load reduction in parts of Gauteng. Oh, this is great news. Just as we start to get cold, Eskom reminds us that they're going to make our lives worse. They've warned they will intensify load reduction in certain parts of Gauteng in order to protect the infrastructure from repeated failure and explosions. I mean, that's not even anyone's fault except Eskom's, right? Repeated failure and explosions. You've got to be kidding me. The power utility said its network was overloaded as a result of illegal electricity activities across high-density areas in the province. It is said that reasons behind the concerning overload included the careless use of electricity. Oh, they are blaming us. Illegal connections and the bypassing of meters, tampering with and vandalizing of electricity infrastructure. Eskom said this has additionally led to damaged cables, transformers, and many substations in the area. So are they saying that people are taking electricity illegally and that's why we're having explosions? It's hard to tell. Hard to tell if it's that or if it's just their lack of maintenance, right?
Gotta find somebody to blame.
The EFF have criticized the government for not imposing a travel ban on India. I mean, the EFF are really digging deep to find something controversial to talk about. The EFF has joined growing calls for South Africa to implement a travel ban to and from India. The Red Berets, in a statement, accused the government of ignoring global trends and foresight to prevent potential devastation from hitting the country. This is in the wake of fears that a variant of COVID-19 first discovered in India might have already reached South Africa. Health Minister Zweli Mkhize laid fears on Tuesday, saying the variant had not yet been detected. India has recorded over 20 million infections, resulting in oxygen shortages, patients dying in hospital parking lots, and crematoria running out of space. The EFF has also likened government's current response to the one it showed in March last year, when it allowed patients with the first confirmed cases into the country and didn't make them self-quarantine. But I don't remember that. I remember them doing exactly that, telling people to self-quarantine. And we were going to get it anyway.
Remember they kept all those people on the ship?
Yes.
Wouldn't let them off.
Yes. But Pumi, like, what is wrong with the EFF here? Has no one ever sat them down and explained to them how viruses work? Even if you impose a travel ban to India, it's going to eventually come here if it's a different variant, and we're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah,
it must be somewhat
mutate here all on its own.
It must be somewhat easy to simply oppose the ruling party, because all you just wait for is, what are they doing and how do we speak up against that, or how do we disagree with that? That's literally all they have to do. They go, okay, so who has spoken from the ANC?
That's right.
Yeah, how are we going against it? That's our statement this week. That's
Well, if they really want to be brave, they should comment on what's going on in the ANC, but they're not brave enough to do that. So instead, they'll criticize them for not implementing a travel ban to India. Really? You know, obviously, there's no controversy left. So Julius is now actually having to go to very, very boring practical things. The latest prototype of a SpaceX rocket, the serial number 15, has just completed a successful high-altitude ascent and landing. Now we're just taking these things for granted. Do you remember how many of them exploded upon re-entry or exploded when they tried to touch down? And now it's happening. They're working. Every one of them is landing beautifully. The four previous tests all ran into trouble as they went through their touchdown maneuvers, ultimately destroying themselves in the process. But SN-15 had no such difficulty, making a tidy, controlled return to the ground in Texas. A small fire licked around the base of the vehicle on touchdown, but was soon extinguished. There's considerable interest in this Starship concept now that the American space agency NASA has chosen to land astronauts on the moon later this decade. So people are watching SpaceX and they're saying, you know what, this looks like a possible vehicle for getting this stuff done. It's amazing. I mean, it's a huge, huge thing. It's bigger than a Saturn V rocket, hey? It's 120 meters tall. And you know how big that Saturn V is. It's a monster. So it's really, this is huge, huge, huge. And the payload, the payload is like 100,000 kilograms, which is also incredible. Considering that, you know, the Falcon Heavy, the payload's only 63,000 kilograms. But there's something interesting to keep an eye on. And the U.S. birth rate has fallen to 4%. Fallen rather 4% to its lowest point ever. So it hasn't fallen to 4%, but it's fallen by another 4%. So some 3.6 million babies were born in the U.S. in 2020, making a 4% decline from the year before. So apparently the slump has been seen across all recorded ethnicities and origins, according to the findings. The national picture mirrors a decline in births worldwide, a trend some experts say has been accelerated by the ongoing coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah, I was going to say, people are on lockdown.
Yeah.
Where have they been able to fornicate?
Well, Sia.
You would think those that are single, at least. Yes.
Single people. Sia. Yeah, single ones having children. But the married ones are having children.
Don't you remember those early heady days of lockdown? People smuggling each other in the...
Don't you remember?
What a short memory you have. Parliamentarians seen running from the scene of... Parliamentarians seen running from the scenes of orgies.
Listen to this quickly. Come on.
Oh, yes. In Europe, yes.
Listen to this. This is a great story. In 2020, the general fertility rate in the U.S. was about 56 births per 1,000 women. That's really small, huh? That's the lowest rate on record in the U.S. Now, the decline in birth rates was seen across all measured racial and ethnic groups. Births dropped by 4% among white, black, and Latina women, 9% for Asian women, it's even more, 3% for Hawaiians, so that's a little bit better, and Pacific Islanders, and 7% for Native American and Alaskan Native women. So really, it's across the board, this is not good. Especially because you have to have more young people in order to pay for the old people. Otherwise, you have old people who are living off of the work of the young people and nothing to finance it. You know, this is what the problem is in Japan and in Scandinavia, is that they have a declining birth rate to the extent that there are now more old people than there are young people. So who's working? This is the problem. So, you know what? We should be grateful in Africa that we have the opposite problem, because we are actually still a very young continent by comparison.
So extremely young.
Yeah. So there we go. Those are the main headlines this morning. Some interesting stuff to talk about today. And we'll get to more of that, obviously, in the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's and comes to you this morning just after 7 o'clock.
But so do they cite any reasons for those declining birth rates, or they're just saying,
they did say,
look over here?
I read in the headline that it could be partly due to the coronavirus pandemic, and that people aren't they didn't want to procreate and make more people during a time when humanity is threatened this way. And that would probably be a psychological reason why. But I think also people having less sex, younger people having less sex than any generation before them, right? Millennials and Gen Z, very, very low levels of sexual activity compared to Gen X and the baby boomers and all of those people. We know that. That's a big problem.
Oh, no.
Like judging from the shenanigans happening on Twitter, when I see people talking about relationships on Twitter, I'm just like, I can see why younger people are just going, you know what, miss me with that shit.
Skip me with all of it. Look,
miss me with that.
But it's also
meanwhile, here in Africa, we are still young and fertile and popping babies like there's no tomorrow. Did you hear about, bless her heart, the 25-year-old woman in Mali?
No.
Who gave birth to 9 children.
9? In one go?
9.
At the same time?
Oh, yes. And that was even a shock to her. She knew that she was expecting 7, which at 25 years old, that's already a lot. And in delivery, there ended up being 9 in total, 5 girls and 4 boys.
Wow.
That's incredible. She must be so tired. And you can imagine how thrilled the father is. He's like, oh, we're going to have a child. This is great. I'm excited. You know, children are costly, but we can do this. 9 children. Imagine that. I mean, look, it's obviously for them, they're not going to sit there and go, this is terrible news, because that would be...
How did that happen, though? That is like got to be some kind of...
Fertility treatment or something, right?
Yeah, like what?
They haven't mentioned anything like that. So I wonder if it just is natural. And if that was just the case, but already the fact that she was pregnant or about to give birth with on Tuesday with what they thought were 7 children, they actually flew her out of the country. They the health department got involved and they flew her to Morocco to give birth. And they were expecting 7, and lo and behold, with ultrasounds, they figured out, hey, wait a minute, there were 2 here. So they had to actually deliver via C-section.
That is so devastating. Yeah, they had to deliver via C-section. What? Nobody's pushing like 7 babies out of there, haha.
That's a, Pumi, you know what it's like to give birth to 1 child. Imagine 9.
And it's barbaric, listen, to say the least.
if you are pushing out 9, it's not a ha-ha anymore. It becomes a woo-hoo. There ain't nothing funny about that.
They must have been tiny babies. I do agree in gentle inflatables. They must have been like tiny. Because how do you like keep 9 people all inside? Yeah.
How are you even retaining all of that? How are you?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
She must have been on like bed rest or something.
It's too much. But, you know, as I said, like here we are talking about this woman who gives birth to 9 kids. We're talking about the EFF. We're talking about whether people are producing enough of other people. And there are aliens. I mean, I just keep bringing this up. There are aliens. And we're not
your fascination.
And we're not talking about the aliens. Come on, you're gonna be joking.
What do you need to talk about aliens for? There's a woman who had 9 people inside of her. What are we talking about aliens for?
Is that an infestation, or is it? It's like 9 other creatures inside of her. It's like parasites.
9 people. Gareth. 9 people.
Well. Guess who is celebrating a fantastic milestone this year? The Rotary Club of Johannesburg. Now, I've done some talks with them before, and I found out that they're celebrating their 100th birthday. Talking about when we were discussing the generation that has come before us. Well, that generation launched the Rotary Club in Johannesburg, and they are celebrating. I thought we'd briefly chat to Grace from the Rotary Club of Joburg about this achievement. So it was back in 1921. That Edward Fisher, a member of the Rotary Club of Pittsburgh, had lunch with 5 other men in Joburg, and the subject was to start a Rotary Club in Joburg. Now, many of us don't even know what the Rotary Club does, and I thought it would be useful to have Grace Van Sale to join us and talk to us about this today. How are you doing, Grace?
Fantastic, Gareth, and you, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, happy 100th birthday to the Rotary Club in Joburg. Very good news. And I know you guys do tremendous work. Why don't you just fill everybody in, the people who might not know what Rotary Club in Joburg does, and what you have done for 100 years, and then we can get into what you might be doing to mark this milestone.
Okay, so the Rotary Club of Johannesburg obviously is part of a larger organization, which is Rotary International. Mm-hmm. So we're about 1.2 million members worldwide, and we're all professional volunteers that get together to use our skills and our passion and our expertise and our time and energy, obviously, to make the world a better place. But more specifically, the Rotary Club of Johannesburg is also the first Rotary Club on the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. So celebrating 100 years that we brought Rotary to Africa. We started, obviously, in 1921, and it started with just doing some concerts at the Johannesburg Hospital at that time when we started, just to cheer people up in wards. And later on, that developed into raising some money and giving some Christmas gifts and then giving some grocery parcels. So that's where it started. But that particular event that we did recitals at Johannesburg lasted until 1990, wow, where the Rotary Club of Johannesburg used to do, firstly, they did silent movies, you know, the Charlie Chaplin type things. And then movies with sound came out, and we bought some projectors with the assistance of a Rotary Club in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And that continued to 1990, where we used to show movies all across the country or in Johannesburg at old age homes, at hospitals, at various institutions. And then obviously that died down because of video and those kind of things. But that's one of the big things that the Rotary Club did in the early years and continued for many years. One of the other projects that we started was in 1927. One of our members started a fund where we wanted to train people in trades, so trade schools. Okay. And we used to give bursaries for these people to then go on to learn a trade and then go out into the wide world and, you know, do their stuff and earn a living. Later on, that fund formalized in 1936, where we had a young gentleman that wanted to study a BSc engineering at WITS at that stage. And he didn't have the money, so our club funded him. He later on then went on and joined the Navy in 1945. He joined the Navy, and he died in combat. But just before he died, he sent us £50 to say, use this to give some lad a chance in life. And this started in 1936. Aww. That program still runs today. We do about 45 learners a year, where we provide them with full bursaries in primary and secondary phase. So any student that has got the potential to do more and be a really bright, shining star, we fund them. But more than that, the Rotarians mentor these children. So it's not just about giving money to educate them. It's about giving them skills. It's about teaching them about life. It's about just holding their hand and going through that process. And that program's been running since 1936. So the Rotary Club of Johannesburg is very, very focused on education.
Okay. Well, I think this is terrific because we could do with all the help we can get in that particular area. And of course, you know, with 100 years of experience of this behind you, you are way ahead of some of the other NGOs. But people can join, right? I mean, anybody can join up with Rotary, and anybody can help raise money for Rotary for the various causes that you guys support in education. And this is also what you constantly have to remind people, is that, you know, no one else is funding you. You have to get help from people, and then you could pass on that help to the most deserving in society. So 100 years is a hell of a thing to mark. How are you going to celebrate?
Well, we did celebrate on the 23rd to the 25th of April. We had a very big virtual conference, which was a celebration in Africa. Mm-hmm. So we had heads of states. We had Kenneth Kaunda. We had Cyril Ramaphosa. We had all these heads of state from all over Africa that came and joined the virtual celebration. The Rotary Club of Johannesburg had a virtual exhibition booth where we've put together a documentary of the last 100 years of what we've done. So obviously education is not the only thing. We don't have enough time to go through everything we've done, because 100 years is a long time. Mm. But what we want to do to celebrate is we want to leave a legacy for the next 100 years. So because we are so passionate about education, we've realized that there's a big problem in our early development phases. So just excuse me. Sorry, I think I needed some water with you.
No problem. So,
and COVID has highlighted this problem even more. So thanks, Gareth. That really helps. So in Gauteng specifically, if we look at malnutrition in our early development stages, 1 in 3 people have stunted growth because of malnutrition. So not just their physical growth, but their mental capacity. Yeah. So if we don't address this malnutrition problem in our country, we are raising people to be condemned in poverty, because they will not have the cognitive ability to become the scientist or the doctor or the engineer. So what we've done is we've partnered with a company called Wellspring, and you may know Joe Nemunt. He's a famous musician, composer, yes. South African musician, that has given up his whole career to change the lives of children in our country.
Right.
So we've partnered with Joe to adopt early development centers all across Johannesburg, where we go in and we enhance their nutrition programs.
Okay.
Because the government does a lot of feeding schemes for schools from the age of 6 and up, but very little gets done in that early development stage. So we want to go in and enhance that nutrition to stimulate the growth of these children, their brain capacity. And then we are treating the problem and not the cause, because it doesn't help. You get a child in standard 6 or grade 8 or grade 9, whatever it is, and we now educate them, we pay for their education, but their cognitive ability has not been developed to the extent where we can really make an impact.
I'm so pleased.
So that is how we want to celebrate our 100 years.
I'm so pleased someone is paying attention to that stuff, because, you know, Pumi knows this because we've been involved, and we actually went to the opening of a number of these early childhood development centers, particularly in the townships, because there are these kids who really, their mom has to work, so they're often left alone. And if there weren't these ECD centers, then these kids would be left in the streets. And you know what can happen to them then, aside from the fact that they don't get good nutrition. And if you don't get all that stuff sorted out early on, then you have a problem for the rest of your life. And it's almost insurmountable. You know, we've all heard about how plastic the brain of a very young child is, and how much it needs the right, basic ingredients and nutrition to be able to develop properly. And I think it's just great that you guys are doing that. Listen, I'd love to talk to you some more, but we've got to get out of here, and we've got the Burning Platform coming up. But Grace, well done. Please pass on our congratulations to everyone at Rotary. I see Pumi enthusiastically nodding along as well. And we will we'll definitely catch up with you guys in another 100 years, right, Sia, when you're ready to talk to them. Because Sia's only 12 now, so he'll definitely live for 100 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, I hope you catch up with us before then. Rotary is open to everybody, and you're all welcome to get involved in any Rotary Club that you feel comfortable with. There's a Rotary Club in every single town all over the world. So they're on your doorstep. So just Google and join a Rotary Club.
Yeah, thank you very much, Grace. Keep doing the good work. That's amazing. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Pums, you're on mute.
Gosh, 100 years in.
I mean, 100 years. You know, we that's a hell of a long time, eh? 100 years. And they've been doing good work for those 100 years. You know, and again, it's like a volunteer.
Isn't it nice to know that there are people out there who actually just do good things? Mm. Just do good.
For very little recognition.
Public-spirited people.
Correct.
Public-spirited people.
Well, Ruth says, in Pretoria, the Rotary Club does amazing stuff. It's an amazing family. And that's true, I think. I'm just amazed that, like, every little town has got one. And they really do. They have a little branch everywhere. It's phenomenal. You can always go to RC Rotary Club. That's rcjohannesburg.org.za for more information. That's rcjohannesburg.org.za. And, of course, find out which one is in the town where you are. I see Woody says we had some hectic hail in Rebecca, which is now the name for PE. And they probably have a Rotary Club there, although PE doesn't really have very much going for
it. So. I knew it.
There's a Rotary Club. There's a Rotary Club.
Saying that. No.
But,
but you know, B is right. I mean, it is kind of disgusting that after 25 years of democracy, one in three people in Gauteng is stunted from poor nutrition in their childhood. That really is an outrageous, outrageous thing to have as a problem in 2021. I agree. It's embarrassing beyond belief. Someone says that we should do a blind history on Cecil John Rhodes and call it Circle of Circles. Well, listen, we've covered some pretty wild people. In fact, in the next week, we cover someone who has probably the best reputation for being the worst person. In other words, he's someone who's just slid through. He's never one of the names that comes up. People talk about the evil people of history, right? And they say Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin. They talk about Genghis Khan. They talk about, you know, maybe Napoleon. But this guy sort of slides through there, and he's easily one of the worst people that's ever lived. And the policies that he implemented and the way that he treated the people of a country not that far from ours should have him in the top five every time. Leopold of Belgium. Mm. So you're going to hear that one coming up. What a son of a bitch. That guy we've got to talk about. So that's an episode of Blind History that's on the way. And I know people like hearing about the bad guys. So we found out about this dude, and he really is just a piece of work. There's no other way to put it. So all of that's coming up. We recorded two new episodes yesterday of Blind History, and I can't wait for you to hear those either. We're in season 5, believe it or not. It's unreal how quickly.
When you said a country not so far from us, I thought you were going to talk about Mobutu.
Well, he's another one, but before Mobutu Sese Seko was Leopold. And let me tell you that
poor Congo has been through
Congo,
the most.
I mean, and really, and now they've got the Kabilas, the elder one who was there for a while, now the younger one. But by any estimation, they're better than what they had before. And that's saying something, you know. So, okay, lots of things to get to this morning. I know Sia's got a whole agenda that he wants to get through, but we've got the Burning Platform coming up next.
Sia, you've got an agenda, Baba.
Sia always has an agenda.
I'm back here tomorrow. Don't worry.
Okay, well, we'll get to Sia's agenda tomorrow. And he wants to talk, believe it or not, about Tiger King.
The gift that keeps on giving.
See, although I was half hoping, very half hoping, that today you were going to want to talk about Melinda Gates.
Oh, we have extensively broken that down. We have waited and analyzed. Let me tell you, in the spirit of also pairing people up, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The Queen is now single. Bill Gates is now single. Can you say power couple? Wait.
Imagine.
You didn't think about that one, right? If they got together, let's just all bow down to them right now. They could literally take over the world.
Right.
So do you think you think the Queen is in the market for a Ben 10? In the form of Bill Gates?
He's a Ben 10.
He's a Ben 10.
And I don't think like Bill wants a high maintenance girlfriend at this point in his life. No, he would actually be fine with the Queen's setup of sleeping in different rooms. And we see each other every now and then. Like there were also hearsay every now and then about the fact that the Queen and Prince Philip didn't even have meals together sometimes because of their schedules and also because of their preferences. I think Bill would be fine with that. He doesn't even have to move. But let them be a power couple and take over the world. That's what I'm backing now.
Well, it would. I tell you what. I mean, the Queen's what, 94 or something, so it wouldn't even be a long marriage. Considering he's just come out of a 27-year marriage with Melinda, this one would be very short by comparison. All right, we've got lots to get to in the Burning Platform this morning. It's brought to you by Nando's, as it is every single week. And this morning we will be joined by Rob Hutchinson. We haven't seen Rob for a while. He's the MD of Dear South Africa. They're an established South African civil organization which facilitates public participation in government policy formation. And of course, they're the people who were brave enough to actually take the government to court last year over some of the stupid lockdown regulations. Remember? Remember when we couldn't, we were supposed to wear only closed shoes, and remember those dumb rules that came out? Couldn't buy a warm chicken from Woolworths. Remember all that stupid nonsense that the government was trying to get us to do this time last year? And Rob Hutchinson and Dear South Africa were at the forefront of challenging the nonsense. So we're going to speak to him, hear what he has to say about all this chaos in the ANC. Vaccine passports, if you've been worried about those, we'll talk about them too. Mm. And a whole lot more, including SARS. Oh, yes. SARS, our favorite government department, SARS. The ones who, it's tax. It's not stealing at gunpoint. It's just the government stealing at gunpoint. So we call it tax. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more in the next hour. CliffCentral.com at 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.